Hello and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Today, we're going to talk about compliance, as well as how and why artificial intelligence and biometrics are improving the compliance function in fintechs and banks alike. Our guest today, Nihal Sheehy, Chief Compliance Officer at Payoneer, as well as our own Marco Salazar, Director of Technology and Infrastructure at Mercator Advisory Group, discuss the compliance challenges organizations are facing today and what that will look like in the future. They also talk about how technology like AI and biometrics are crucial to the future of payments management. Nihal and Marco, it's great to have you with us today. To start, Nihal, I'd like to get your thoughts on what the future looks like for organizations and entrepreneurs who are facing compliance challenges.
I think that's a very broad and interesting question. I would say the biggest challenge is cost and maintaining, you know, your compliance spend versus your customer experience. I see that, you know, especially in the fintech space, for, you know, when you talk about entrepreneurs or new entrants into this market, the cost of compliance is significant, even from just like getting the required licensing, but the cost of maintaining an adequate KYC and transaction monitoring program, you know, are very significant, especially when you want to be global and operate in multiple jurisdictions. You know, the different KYC nuances can be costly. And also, you know, the repercussions of not having an adequate KYC program or adequately funded compliance programs are significant. I think, you know, $10 billion in just KYC fines last year globally just shows you how serious regulators are taking KYC and how, you know, they really see this as the first line of defense. I think the challenge is the biggest challenge as well, along with cost, is maintaining compliance in relation to the regulatory environment. Each jurisdiction or each areas of the globe are advancing at different paces and going in slightly different directions. You can see some trends in APAC where they're mandating biometric KYC in the regulations. You can see trends out of Africa where digital identities, due to the lack of centralized documentation issuance, are becoming prevalent. Europe are mandating minimum standards in relation to compliance and KYC. So I think, you know, the biggest challenge is staying on top of everything and having a program in place to make sure that you can stay on top of everything and you're notified of everything as it happens. I think adding to that, obviously, is bad actors and criminals who are always one step ahead, or, you know, they're fully dedicated to trying to find loopholes in the system. So it's kind of being proactive and, you know, really having processes and procedures in place to analyze the trends that you're seeing, not only in your own transactions, but also at a more macro level within the environment that you operate in.
And just to add a little context to that, to Michal's answer, is the complexities outlined by Michal, you know, drives this state or this desire for simplification, which, while that is a desired state, it will be an iterative process to attempt to get there. There are a lot of complexities involved in this, and we're starting to see technology providers attempt to create microservices or bolt-on services within their own platforms, whether it's their own service or they can bolt on a third party or interact with an internal solution. Again, that's driven by simplification, but again, that's a state that might be utopian for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of pressure I see a pioneer in relation to simplification. I tend to see that the simplification is always going to the highest standard, right? Which, when you're, unfortunately, when you're operating globally like we are, the highest standard would be more heavily regulated jurisdictions like APAC and Singapore, which then when you're dealing with customers in the US, you know, where the KYC requirements aren't as stringent in the regulations, you're putting yourself at a competitive disadvantage compared to your other peers that may not be operating globally. So it's always, you know, trying to find that simplification, that common standard, and then also a cost and a customer experience point of view. It's quite challenging. I think what I'm seeing when I look at peers of myself is that people are leaning more into more stringent KYC upfront versus, you know, the more basic identity verification KYC that you've historically seen over the last 5 to 6 years.
Yeah, and along those lines, it's a scalability, right? We've mm-hmm. now entered an era where technology scales easily across geographies, but that also leads us into conversations where a lot of it depends on where headquarters is based out of. And you can see really good examples where you have US-based companies and you have companies based out of other regions, right? So just to name a few, like the most consumer-centric ones are Apple and Google. And if you see what they're trying to do with all of this, they are trying to scale globally, but at the time when other regions have their local mandates. And so they've run into issues, whether to your point, Michal, through fines and are just willing to pay those fines, or are having to scrap complete products that they've launched here with that idea to scale and then having to relaunch them with that localization element later on.
I'm curious how AI and machine learning fit into the future of payments management. Michal, what are your thoughts?
I would say that it's not more so the future, more so it's required now, especially for a company like Payoneer, where we operate at such scale in so many different jurisdictions. I think AI really, I use this sentence a lot as, you know, historically compliance was, you know, detect and report. And now we're moving into effective prevention and also more real-time reporting. And I think that AI and machine learning in relation to transaction monitoring and payment approval, payment monitoring is, you know, a required tool. You know, as I mentioned earlier, bad actors and criminals will always have, you know, the time and resources to invest in new ways to circumvent and abuse financial systems. And this, you know, machine learning and AI really allows you to operate in more of a real-time environment versus a traditional rules-based, which, you know, when I say rules-based will be you write a rule, if A happens, do B, or if C happens, do D, versus machine learning will, you know, enable you to have preventative measures and have more insight into how your customers transact, what's expected, and also operate in a more real-time manner. So for us, for example, we're able to program some of our AI and machine learning models with expected patterns and behaviors of what merchants in certain jurisdictions selling certain goods will look like. So if, you know, even down to if someone entered the business, you know, is this a new market for them, or is this an established merchant that's been operating for 10 years? Because you're not going to treat them the same, right? Someone who's like growing and starting a business will have smaller payments and you should see the acceleration versus a more established customer that will have, you know, large volumes that peak throughout seasonal periods. And what, you know, that enables everyone to do is really segment their customers and look at who they need to look at, right? And also enable you to see when something is about to happen. So somebody receives a large payment, your model could say, well, I think that X is going to happen, so that you can, you know, use that time to request additional KYC, pause that customer's activity, get the information that you need to be comfortable, versus historically where those payments would have just been released and you would be just detecting that suspicious activity 30 days later and reporting it. So I think it's a huge addition to traditional or, you know, more static rules-based transaction monitoring, but it doesn't go away. I think it's more of a foundational level that encompasses that. It is, you know, we talked about investment and challenges earlier. I think it's a significant investment. I think just fine-tuning and implementing some of the AI and machine learning we have in our transaction monitoring system has taken, you know, over 12 months and a significant spend on data scientists and, you know, heavy testing cycles, which, you know, you need to still work those alerts, get analysts to look at them and constantly update the feedback loop. So it's a pretty significant investment, but we've learned a lot from doing so. And I think, you know, when you look at the tools and technologies that are available in the market, you know, AI and machine learning is a baseline now. It's not a value add. It's what's expected as the minimum requirement.
Yep. And to add to that, it is a core competency, but we're also very much in the maturing state of the capabilities in terms of ML and AI. The huge advantage is that with the emergence of technology and new platforms, we've had this, I guess, acceleration of data governance standards, even though they're still very disparate across regions. Mm-hmm. But because of that, at least at a regional level, we're starting to see the ability for these models to really, really learn and have these drive impact within those regions. And so again, the localization level it makes a big difference because of this, right? It's not just about having access to the data, it's also the quality of the data. And because of that, these models rely on that. And to Michal's point, it is a core competency that is no longer and will be needed going forward. And of course, the goal is to improve it going forward to scale across regions, but that will take some time and will require a lot of effort and cooperation amongst the different, not just players within the space, but also different industries, right? So as each vertical gets built out, the data and the governance needs to be very much standardized across those components.
Michal, you know, you spoke a lot about AI and machine learning and how it fits into the future of payments management. What about biometrics?
So this is a super exciting topic of mine. I think, you know, biometrics are super important. They already exist today, right? As I mentioned earlier, there's $10 billion in KYC plans just last year. Everybody uses biometrics when they unlock their phone, when they use Apple Pay, when they use a fingerprint on something. It's already kind of a standard. I think biometrics is tied significantly with digital identities, which I'll go into in a second. You know, coming out of COVID, we've seen a lot of identity theft scams in the US. You know, it's evident, everybody knows it, that pretty much since the Equifax data breach, everyone's personal information is available online. During COVID, we saw a lot of unemployment scams and people opening bank accounts remotely to cash out PPE loans and using stolen identities. And it really became obvious that, you know, the only way to prevent this fraud and to, you know, stop those illicit funds at onboarding is to have some sort of liveness or biometric check, which will obviously reduce that, but it's not perfect. I can still steal an identity, create an ID with my own face on it using the stolen details, and will still pass a liveness check. Obviously, it's a little bit more complicated with biometrics, but I think that, you know, tying this together with digital identities is super important, because you can use it, leverage a government database to pull someone's digital identity, and then you can do a biometric check to tie the two of them together. Obviously, digital identities are much more advanced in jurisdictions like Africa and APAC. In some markets in Europe, there were a little lagging behind in the US in relation to that. But I see this as a, you know, a huge shift in relation to KYC. And I think this is going to be, you know, the standard within the next 2 years. You can see, you know, Singapore, Malaysia, they've actually mandated biometrics in their KYC. So they're telling the financial institutions in those markets, if your customers are not in front of you when you're onboarding them and you're selling financial products, you need to have a liveness and KYC check, because we will not be accepting, like, you know, identity theft as a typology within our economy anymore. And we're starting to see that. I think we've all, you know, I bought concert tickets the other day and I had to do a liveness biometric check to stop them from being resold. So it's not even in relation to financial products anymore. It's, you know, a huge security and fraud elimination tool that people can use easily, right? We all have smartphones and devices. It's so simple to do a liveness check. You know, I'm super excited about it, as you can tell, but there's some, you know, some challenges. We need to have baseline digital identity verification for it to be completely foolproof. It's not globally standardized yet. There's still data protection, data privacy rules. If you want to operate at a global level in relation to the exporting of someone's PII from their, you know, their biometric. And also, you know, there's a significant customer experience issue, because I've had to, like, sit in front of my own webcam and, like, hold my passport to my face, and it's been too light or too dark and I couldn't get my face in the round circle, you know. So we're still not perfect, but it's, you know, a significant change from, you know, 5 years ago, where people were just taking pictures of their IDs and uploading them and applying for mortgages and things like that.
Yeah. And from that standpoint, the biometrics question is essentially the ultimate PII, because essentially, if someone gets your face print or your thumbprint, it's very powerful in what you can do with that. And because of that, how it's implemented and how those standards evolve, to not just from a domestic standpoint, it's also from the global standpoint. And so from that end, it will take some time, because those standards need to evolve at a global level. And where, if you look at just the US itself with digital identity, there really is no real framework to govern that. And because of that, you have Apple and Google, which are leading the charge in the consumer space, who are implementing it, who are headquartered here in the U.S., but are implementing global solutions without a real framework here in the U.S. And so, again, you look at Europe with GDPR, PSD2, who have led the charge in the sense of the regulatory mandates, APAC, in terms of how they're now, like Michal said, incorporating them into their regs. It's important that at the governmental level, something needs to happen to arrive at that standardization. And again, the U.S. is far behind in that. It's right now at the state level. And because of that, we need more of a federal mandate, which I believe is coming. It's just, it has taken some time. But until then, it's kind of the wild, wild west, just to frame it up.
As we take a look, you know, into 2023, there's a lot of like key developments that we expect to happen. Michal, is there anything that's keeping you up at night or anything that you're excited to see?
I sleep very well. I think I'm excited to see, you know, regulatory developments around central bank-backed stablecoins. I think this is a huge game change in relation to how merchants get paid, how commerce is going to change. So I'm excited to see what the regulatory developments are in that and dreaming a big dream. In relation to things that I worry about, I know we talked about data a lot. As we talked about your compliance program, your KYC is only as good as the customer data that you get. So I'm constantly thinking about ways to improve our data quality and how we can have stronger KYC to keep that in place. I am also following all of the various KYC regulation changes that are happening around the world and seeing, you know, that standards are increasing and trying to think of, you know, ways and trying to find tools and vendors that will keep our customer experience, you know, exciting and sexy, but also collect all the additional information that we need.
Yeah, and I think going forward with the emergence of these standards, you're going to start to see a movement where FIs, traditional FIs, which have been the kind of holders of that KYC data, start to have to be more open. It's already started with PSD2, but it's going to be even more so. And because of that, we should be able to move a lot faster and be more consumer-centric. And I think FIs have already realized that and have already accelerated digital transformation efforts and investments in these areas. So I think we're at a good place, and that's what makes it exciting for the future.
Michal and Marco, thank you so much for your insights and perspective. We hope to have you back on soon.